And I want to go to Luke chapter number 15, and I know today is Easter Sunday, and I planned on preaching an Easter message. In fact, there's an Easter message in Luke chapter 15, and I was going to preach that, but I'll tell you, the Lord woke me up this morning about 2 o'clock. I try to go to bed sometimes early. I don't know why I do that, because when you go to bed early, you know what happens? 4 hours later, you wake up. And then you can't go to sleep. And so, but I woke up this morning about 2 o'clock. And as soon as I woke up, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about this message that I'm going to preach to you this morning. And sometimes I come to church and I'm not sure what I'm going to preach. I'm not sure if I'm going to preach. But then there's times you come to church and you just know God put something on your heart. And so I pray that God will speak to us. It is Easter. And we celebrate as Christians, I said, we celebrate Easter Sunday every Sunday, don't we? And every day of our life, because the resurrection is not a one time of year event for us. But thank God we live because He lives, and we know that this morning. But I want to preach this message that the Lord gave me this morning. And I pray that God, you know, when He deals with you this way, you know that it's for a reason. And in the weeks of being in this chapter here is not something that I just normally do, but I know it's for a reason as well. And I pray that God will speak to us and through us. If you'll stand with us this morning, Luke chapter number 15, I'm really just going to read one phrase out of verse number 17. And it's the phrase that was on my heart when I woke up this morning. Notice the Bible said in verse 17, "And when He came to Himself." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name. God, you know, I just, to the very best of my ability, which is not much, I say that privately and publicly. God, I want to obey you this morning, and I want your will to be done, whatever that be. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do the work that no man can do. I can't speak to anybody's heart. I can't challenge anybody's will. Lord, I can't make anybody get saved. I can't make anybody get right with you. But God, I pray this morning the Holy Ghost would take this feeble message and speak to hearts and deal with lives. Help me, Lord. Help us all to have ears to hear whatever the Spirit would say to the church and to sinners this morning. And may Thy will be accomplished. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice this phrase here, because it is a phrase in this text that I think, if you're a Bible reader, that every time you come to this phrase, it seems to get your attention. What I want to do this morning concerning this phrase is three things. Number one, I want to emphasize this phrase in this young man's life, because the Bible says here, "And when He came to Himself." You say, "Preacher, why just a phrase? Why not the whole verse? Why emphasize this phrase?" Well, I think this phrase is important because it's pivotal. When you consider where the young man started in verse number 11, a certain man had two sons, and he was a good father, and he was in a good place, and you consider where this young man started, and then you consider where he ended up at. He went from the father's house father's place to the hog pen of sin. He is hanging out with the hogs in verse number 16, and no man is giving unto him. So now, when you consider where he's been, and you consider where he's at, and then you consider this phrase, I think we should emphasize it because it's very pivotal. What I mean is that while he was at home, he never was himself. He was always what he thought he wanted to be. What he thought he could be, but he never was who he really was. He never saw himself for who he was. I think there's people sitting in church that they sit in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they're what they think they want to be. They're always thinking about what they could be. But you know what the tragedy is? They never saw themselves for who they really are. Now, I'm telling you, it'll take the Holy Ghost of God to pull the scale back off some people's eyes this morning and let you see yourself
for who you are. This young man could not see himself, and so he couldn't see himself when he was out in the far country. And the Bible said he wasted his substance in riotous living. He couldn't see himself then. He couldn't see himself when he walked out into the field that day. And the Bible said that he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him salt. I tell you, when he got to the very bottom of that hog pen, and when he got so hungry and he couldn't help himself and nobody was there to pull him up by his own bootstraps, guess what? That's when the Bible says, and when he came to himself. That's a pivotal statement, and so it ought to be emphasized. And then it is a powerful statement this morning, because the father couldn't get this boy's attention. The brother wouldn't get this boy's attention. The servants couldn't get this boy's attention. All the good things the father gave him, when he gathered it all up, it didn't get his attention. You know, people that sit in church every week, it takes a lot to get their attention. And people that are living out in sin, it takes a lot to get their attention. I'm telling you, there are people sitting here this morning. I know as well as I'm preaching this message, and I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to be honest this morning, because I care about every person that's here, whether I know you or don't know. Yeah, I want you to know the truth. I want you to get spiritual help, whatever that is in your life. Now, I'm telling you, there are people sitting in church week after week, and I'll preach 1,000 sermons, but it ain't going to make no difference because you've never come to yourself. Your parents can talk to you to your blue, they're blue in the face, but you know you're right and everything, just like this young man. He was right and everybody else was wrong. He blew everything and everybody else off, and God has rained blessing after blessing down in your life, just like this young man. You know what you do? You're going to gather it all up and go do your own thing. You know why? Because you've never came to yourself. Amen. And I'll tell you, it'll take the power of God to put the fear of God in some people. Some people fear God because their parents taught them that, and they listen. But some people have no fear of God whatsoever. They can sit under some of the hardest preaching and it won't move them. The only thing going to move you is God getting a hold of you this morning. And then it's a powerful statement that this boy actually came to himself. And so we should emphasize it, because it is pivotal in his life. Had he not come to himself, he would have died. And I'll tell you, if you don't come to yourself, if you don't see yourself for who you are, I'm telling you, if you don't get real with God, if you don't let the message sink down in your heart, I'll tell you, you're going to die. Amen. You're going to die spiritually, and you may even die physically. Amen. There's some people, they shorten their days because they just live out in sin and stubbornness and rebellion, had never come to themselves. That's the road this boy's headed down. But here it's a pivotal. It's a very powerful statement. I think it ought to be emphasized because it's a profitable statement. His life is saved because he wakes up and he comes to himself. You know, I didn't have a good title for this sermon, so I just wrote this down: coming to your senses. Sin, as I've said for weeks, and I just can't get away from the statement, it makes people stupid, doesn't it? Sin makes people do things that they would never dream about doing. Sin makes you not listen to the people in your life that would give you wise counsel. You know more than what they know, even though you've not lived longer, you've not seen, but you know more. Doesn't matter how many stories, how many illustrations, doesn't matter how many warnings, doesn't matter how many red flags are given. Oh no, you're bent to do your own thing. That's where this young man is at. And so this is a profitable statement in his life, as you'll see, because for weeks I've been preaching on this subject. And if you have been here, you know that it's just been negative preaching. I mean, it's just been, there's nothing positive about when you, from verse number 12 down to verse number 15, there's not anything positive for me to tell you, or 16. I mean, if I do, I have to make it up. You know why? Because this boy's not going in a positive direction. Amen. If you're sitting here this morning and say, well, why is my life this way? Why am I so miserable? Why are things never working out? Listen, it's not everybody else's fault. You're going in the wrong direction. Amen. And you need to come to your senses this morning. That's why we emphasize this phrase in this young man's life. This phrase should be emphasized. So we emphasize this phrase in this young man's life because this is the most profitable thing that has ever happened to this young man. More than all the goods his father gave him,
When he come to his senses, when he got common sense about where he was and who he was at and what he was doing and what others had been in his life, it's the most profitable thing. You know, there are things in life, and this scripture proves it, that's far more profitable than the material things of this world. He wasted his substance. He had a lot, but he didn't know what to do with what he had. And there's a lot of people, they go out and play the lottery and they gamble. And listen, they spend money they don't have. And they take from their children's needs to go out and gamble, to win the big Powerball or to win something like that. And then finally they do win it. Some people do win it. And they win millions. But when they get millions, guess what? They don't know how to handle what they have. You know why? They don't have no common sense. They go on the biggest spending spree of their life, and then a few years later, guess what? They're either broke or they're miserable. Because I'm telling you, there are riches that money will never buy. I'm talking about peace on your pillow. I'm talking about a clear conscience. I'm not telling you I'm Lily White this morning, but thank God I can lay my head down at night and I don't have to lay there and worry. I don't have to look over my shoulder every day wondering about is something going to catch up with me from my past. You say, preacher, have you ever fallen short? Sure I have, but thank God it's under the blood. Amen? I don't have to worry about my wife finding out something that I wouldn't want her to know, or my children finding out something. I'm not sinless this morning, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, if you live for God, amen, I'm telling you, I'd rather have at us all the money this world has to offer. I don't need this world's riches, and we don't need this world's fame. I'm telling you, give me Jesus Christ, amen. He is all I need. You say he is all I got. Well, when I tell you, when you find out he's all you got, you'll also find out he's all you need. Hallelujah. I don't need the riches of this world. Brother, I'm telling you, this phrase ought to be emphasized. We emphasize this phrase in this young man's life. And then I want to examine this phrase in this young man's life. The Bible says, and when he came to himself. I think about the period that is mentioned here. You notice that word when, and when. You know what? That emphasizes that there was a time when he hadn't come to himself. There's a period there in that word. There's a time frame. I'll tell you what it is. It's from verse 12 down to verse number 17. That's the phrase. All that time, that boy wasn't using common sense. And that boy wasn't listening to the authorities in his life. That boy wasn't listening to what people were telling him. He was just bent to do his own thing and go his own way. And it's not just young people. I'm telling you, it's mamas and daddies. It's people in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. I preach the hound out of young people, but I'm telling you, I think a lot of mamas and daddies need this kind of preaching, if not more than some young people, because people at middle age, sometimes they're more clever about covering it up. They spiritualize their stubbornness, their rebellion, still rebellion. There's kind stubbornness and kind rebellion. Always gets quiet when I say that, because I know I'm plowing places that people don't really want you to go. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a period. Now, if I was a mother here this morning, and I had some things in my heart, you say, Brother Gravely, do you know something? No, I'm just preaching this morning. But this is on my heart to say this. If I was a mother here this morning, I had some things in my heart that was going to hinder my children from living for God. If I was going to discourage them from living for God in some area, maybe standards, maybe it's in some avenue of holiness, I'd get right with God about that this morning. Because God could take you out. You know, there's worse things than children not having a mother, and that's a terrible thing. That's one of the worst things in life. You say, Brother Gravity, what could be worse than that? A mother hindering their children from living for God. Same goes for a daddy. You are a daddy this morning. You won't get serious about living for God. You don't care You just made your mind up. None of us are promised tomorrow. You know why I'm preaching that right now? Because we don't hear that preached anymore. I think we ought to say it more. We got a rebellious generation that's come up and they say, well, you know, them old-time preachers, they fear-monger. No, they preach the truth without apologies what they did. They didn't fear, man. I'm going to tell you something. That's what's wrong with this generation. They don't fear nothing no more. You put yourself in, I'm not just talking about this generation. I'm talking about, hey, you be a daddy here this morning, and if you say, well, it don't matter if I'm faithful. It don't matter if I do this. It don't matter. Well, it matters to God this morning. You could shorten your days, is what I'm saying. And when there was a period that he just wouldn't do right. And then the person, the Bible says, and when he, only he could make this decision. His father couldn't make it for him. His brother wouldn't make it for him. The servants couldn't make him. Even the far country, they're not going to make it for him. But the only one that can come to their senses is the one in this text. The person in this text is this young man. Now, this young man could say, my daddy didn't treat me right. My brother's not fair. And the brother's not fair if you read about it. But you notice this boy's accountable for himself. You can't point fingers at other people is what I'm saying. We are accountable for our own choices in life. And this boy has a stubbornness problem. He has a rebellious problem. And so you think about that. If it gets down in your soul, it gets down in your heart, and you say, well, I know this is what my husband said, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I'm just going to find another way to do it. Well, that's rebellion. That's stubbornness. Amen. If you're a husband that says, well, I don't care what that preacher says. I don't like that kind of preaching. So we're going to go somewhere else. Well, that's just stubbornness and rebellion. You can do that. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're somewhere along life's way, you're going to have to come to your senses. You're going to have to wake up and realize the man of God is not trying to run your life. He's trying to help you. I can't even run my own life, let alone try to run somebody else's. But the person, and then the process, look at this phrase again. And when he, you see that little phrase there, or those two words, when he came to, that speaks about a direction, doesn't it? There was a process. Something brought him to his common sense. Now, it wasn't the father. And it wasn't the goods that the father gave him. That didn't give him no common sense. It wasn't his brother. It wasn't the servants. You know what brought this boy to himself? The far country. And I'm going to tell you something. Young people, listen to me. There's people sitting here this morning that saved and right with God and loving Jesus. And if I was to go around this room, they could stand up with tears in their eyes and they could tell you what I'm telling you right now. The far country knows how to bring you to yourself. It knows how to bring you to the reality of what you did have that you lost and what you can never get back once it's taken. And see, this boy, he came, the process, and here's what I'm telling you this morning. You don't want to go through this process. If this boy would have, when he was on the farm, if he'd have just went to his father and said, you know what, Father, and it's just repentance. If he said, Father, I ain't had a good attitude. I've not been right. My spirit's been wrong. I tell you, I've been trying in my heart. I hadn't left this farm, but in my heart, I've been doing the wrong thing. I've been wanting to go out there and, hey, I'm just tired of the rules and I'm tired of the regulations and I'm tired of what people's telling me. And I've just been, my heart hadn't been right, Father, and I want to get right. You know what would have happened? Number one, the father would have forgave him. Number two, the boy would have felt a whole lot better and avoided a whole lot of problems. And number three, his brother might have even got right. See, we blame the brother, but maybe all this came from the boy, the younger boy. And I look at it, here's the problem. This boy wouldn't listen, so here's what. Now listen to me. He wouldn't listen, so he had to go through the process. If you're saved and you're backslid on God this morning and you won't listen, I'm just going to tell you, go ahead and check it off. You're going to have to go through the process. I don't know what that process is because I'm not God. That process could be very tragic. That process could be short and tragic, or it could be long. But listen to me. God knows this morning. He knows. He knows what it would take to bring us to ourselves. Now, I'm telling you this morning, there's people that say, that preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. I've got one responsibility this morning, and that is to preach what God tells me to preach. And when I get through preaching this sermon, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give an invitation. But I'm not, I care because I want people to get right, but I think you understand what I'm going to say. I'm not accountable if 10 people comes to this altar, or if one person comes, or if nobody comes. If I give an invitation and nobody comes to this altar, I'm going to go home and eat lunch just like I would if the altar was full. I'm going to rest this afternoon and pray just like I would if 5 people got saved. You know why? Because I'm done when the invitation starts. I've done what God wants me to do. And I'm not telling you I always do that, but I'm saying it's over with for me. It's decision time. And when another preacher's preaching and I'm sitting down there and he's done, it's decision time for me. But I'm telling you, this boy, here's the problem. He's not going to listen. And I think there are people, they're just not going to listen. You can preach to them till the cows come home, but their mind's made up. So here's the thing. They're going to have to go through the process. And I hate that, because the process could be, it could be a crippling life. It could be tragedy after tragedy. It could be marriage and divorce. It could be bankruptcy multiple times. You say, you're trying to scare me. Absolutely. I hope I scare you so bad you get on this altar and get right with God like never before. I think you ought to be scared if you're not right with God. If you got some things lingered in your heart. If you're not saved. If you're backslid this morning. I'm telling you this morning, God is just ringing this chapter out. And I'm not dumb this morning. I know that if He's doing that, He is trying to just keep pounding a message over and over and over. You better come to your senses. Amen. Better come to Him. And we should all take the sermon personally. If you're sitting here thinking about somebody else who needs the sermon, then guess what? You need it worse than the person you're thinking about. Because you're not evaluating your own life. Well, Brother Gravely, man, it's Easter, but it can't help it. Well, Brother Gravely, you know, there's nothing in my life. You sure about that? Sure about it? Had a little something the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this earlier this year. He said, you don't need that in your life. It's not sin, but it's just going to take up too much of your life. I said, okay, Lord. You don't have to give me an explanation. I tell you, this flesh this morning, we're never above it, are we? No matter how long you've been serving God. You say, well, I wouldn't tell that. Well, I don't like telling it, but I want you to know this morning we're human. I'm not standing up here on a different, I'm not on the platform, but I'm not on a different level this morning. I'm telling you, I've been saved for over 35 years, but I want you to know that I still live in a sinful flesh, and God has to do it. I never want to get to a place I go to church and think, you need something I don't. You say, why? Because you need to come to yourself this morning. Where do you see yourself at spiritually? Holy Spirit woke me up this morning, 2 o'clock. And as soon as I woke up, I'm tired and in a fog or anything like that. I didn't see a vision. Just when I opened my eyes and woke up, the Holy Spirit said, and when He come to Himself, He said, write this down. And I just rolled over and got my phone and text myself. He said, write this little outline down. And I mean, just boom, 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 boom. I know that's God. And He ain't doing that just to have an Easter sermon. Oh, no. He's dealing with people's hearts this morning. These things goes on. People think, how's preacher know that? Well, I don't know much. And if I know something, I might preach on it. Amen? I'm not going to target you, but I'm not going to avoid you. But I tell you, the Holy Ghost knows everything. You're not going to get by. I'm not going to get by. You think you're doing something nobody knows about, I'm telling you, God is writing it down. He's keeping a record, friend. And the Bible says if you cover your sin, God will uncover it. But if you'll confess it, you know what God will do? He'll cover your sin. But you got to confess it. You got to come clean with God. The process. Oh, I've seen the process. Haven't you seen the process in people's life? They get away from God. They go out in the world. And I've never seen anybody go out in the world and say, man, life is so good and life is way better and I'm blessed more than God's been better to me out here than He ever was to me in there. Never met anybody like that. Met a lot of people, got out in the world, ruined their life, and I've been to the graveyard, preached the sermons, tried to comfort the family, but in the back of my mind, not even know if that person's in heaven or hell, or know that that person went to an early grave because they wouldn't live for God. The process, would the process end in tragedy? Would the process end in a grave? Would the process end in a hog pen? Would the process end coming back down the aisle broken in half and bitter tears coming on this altar? Oh, sweet forgiveness and sweet mercy you find, but you get up and you're just like this boy. You don't have anything to show for a life you lived out in sin. You wasted the best years of your life. You know, I was preaching in North Carolina, and I probably shouldn't have said that state. So I won't tell everything there, but a man came up to me with tears in his eyes, a little country church. It's been a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And this man, I know this man because if I'm ever up in that area, he'll usually try to come a night or so. He's a great brother. But he came up to me and he said, pray for me. This man's way up in years. Way up in years. He said, my wife filed for divorce. Over 40 years. I'll shorten. Way over 40 years they were married. You just never know what's going to happen in life. And I'll tell you, if I lay my head down tonight and I have cancer in my body, I want to be able to lay it down and know this. That it was not the judgment of God in my life. And there's the perspective. The Bible says He came to, notice this, Himself. See, that's where God has to bring all of us to. The reality of who we really are. There's people sitting in church and they think they got Brother Gravely fooled. You're not fooling me. I don't know everything, but I'll tell you, when you look at Baptists as much as I look at Baptists and you've preached to them as long, do I know everything? Oh, no, I don't. But I'll tell you this much. When you preach to a congregation week in and week out, I'm talking about the same congregation, you can see that far away look in people's eyes. You know when people are drifting. I think the Holy Ghost tells you on purpose, so you'll pray for them people. And this morning, you have to see yourself. You ever seen people get out of church and when they get out of church, all they do is talk about how bad they were treated? The problem with those people is they weren't necessarily treated bad. I'm not saying there's not cases like that. But what about people that got treated bad but they didn't get out of church? Right? The problem with those people is they never saw themselves. Where do you stand with God? Not where does your friends think you stand, not where you think the preacher thinks you stand, not where you think your parents think you stand. Where do you stand with God this morning? You may not know that, but I tell you, God knows that this morning. He knows. See, He knows where I stand with Him. And, there's a lot of days I'm like, Holy Spirit, please show me. This old flesh is so deceptive, I'll think I'm doing good. And it takes God to say, hey, here's where you're really at. He came to Himself. He took a hog pen to come to Himself. It took losing everything He had, but it shouldn't have. He didn't have to go that way. And when He came to Himself, here's what He saw. When He came to Himself, He saw His Father for who He was. He saw the servants for who they really were. He saw how good. You notice the goods He's talking about in the next verse. It's not all the things you would party with. It's bread. It's necessities of life. He realized He doesn't need all the extra things of this world to make Him happy.
prosperity. He just needed the simple things of life. He saw the goodness of God in his life was just the basic needs. I'm telling you, the fact that God let every one of us roll out of bed this morning, he let every one of us be in our right mind and be able to put our clothes on ourselves. The fact that God let us be born in America, he let us hear the gospel, he let us come to church and sit under the truth. I'm telling you, those are basic things, but they're beneficial things. And hey, they're big things too, Brother Laddie. If you couldn't get out of the bed this morning, if you'd have had a stroke, I don't care if you're 15 years old, if you'd have had a stroke while you were sleeping last night, your whole world would be changed right now. I'm telling you, that's bread from heaven, isn't it? To sit in a church this morning, hear the Word of God preached to us. I'm not talking about me necessarily. I'm just talking about the Word of God, to sit under the Word of God, to own a King James Bible when so many people around this world has never even seen a Bible or heard a clear presentation of the Word of God, to sit in a climate-controlled building on a padded pew that we don't even deserve to be sitting on. But here we are, sitting here in our Sunday best. He put clothes on our back, and none of us are barefooted this morning. We got shoes on our feet. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. Not a one of us are going to go home and worry about if we're going to have a meager supply of food on the table. I'm telling you, God has rained manna down from heaven, and he rightfully deserves every one of us to say, God, you've been good to my sorry soul. And God help the people this morning. God help them. I say, Lord, please help them people that cannot see who they really are. We should examine this phrase in this young man's life. We should emphasize this phrase in this young man's life. And then, for just a few more moments, I want to exercise this phrase in this young man's life. And when he came to himself, here's the question I have about this. Is what the Lord hung on my heart this morning. When this young man came to himself, did it matter? Did it make a difference? Well, the answer is yes, isn't it? Because now things are about to change. Hey, for all these weeks it's been negative. For all these weeks it's just been hammering how bad he's been and how bad he's done. But I'm going to tell you something. Business is fixing to pick up. And when you come to yourself, things can change for the good. They will not change until they do. I tell you, we can all tell you, we can all preach it to you, we can all say it to you. I'll tell you, if you ever come to the end of yourself and see yourself for who you are, I'm telling you, all of a sudden things are going to change. Listen, this young man comes to himself. I'll tell you, what he sees is exercised in his life. So what is it? Well, notice in verse 17, he's thinking about his father. He said, how many servants, look at this, the first time you see the word coming out of his mouth since he's been in the far country. How many hired servants of, look at this, my father's. He's thinking about his father. Have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger. I will go to my father's, to my father. This young man, you couldn't get him to think about his father living out there in the world. Well, he had all these things and living a righteous life. Well, if you'd have walked up to him and talked about his dad, that's a conversation he didn't want to have. That's a part of his past that he is dead to, that he no longer wants to think about that. He's living the high life of sin. He's enjoying what he's doing. But I'll tell you, when this boy hit rock bottom, when this boy come to his senses, all of a sudden he's not thinking about partying. He's not thinking about living out in this world. He's not thinking about how much he can get and gain. Oh, no. You know, where's mind went back to? He didn't go back to the farm. He didn't go back to the house. He went back to daddy. He went back to that one that loved him. He went back to that one that raised him. He went back to that one that poured himself into him. I'm going to tell you this morning, God has been good to every one of us. And this thing started with God. And this is going to end with God. You and I are in this world because God gave us life. And God gave us breath. And one of these days, we're going to leave this world. And guess who we're going to face? We're going to face God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. We leave, it ain't going to be about what's in our closets and in our garage and in our shed. It's not going to be about what's in our bank account. It's not going to be about how much fun we had in life. It's not going to be about, what people thought about us or what people had to say, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Hey, I'm telling you, you better quit living for people. You better lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, because our only help and our only hope is from God Himself this morning. Amen. And for the first time, this boy's thinking about his father. You know, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that people would think about the Father. But you got to come to your senses. Quit hiding your sin. Quit lying. Quit lying. People lie today and don't think about it, do they? Mamas and daddies lie. Better quit lying. Better speak the truth. God knows the truth, doesn't He, this morning? Better be honest. Honesty is so important, isn't it? And the worst lie that you and I will ever tell, you know what the worst lie is we'll ever tell? I'll tell you what it is. It is the lie that we will tell ourselves. If you lie to yourself, and you start believing it, it'll take God to bring you to your senses. I've seen people out in sin and look at me and say, "Preacher, I just want you to know I'm right with God." I'm like, "Well, then this book's wrong." And you know it ain't wrong. "Well, I think you can do this and be right with God." Well, that ain't what this says. I'm just telling you what this says. "Well, you know, that's just Brother Gravely preaching." Well, I just try to preach this book. Not telling you everything I've ever said in my whole life has been exactly right, but I'm telling you this morning, people pass that off because they have lied to themselves and they said, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." I had a family member that went to hell. Never did get saved. And I, from the time I started pastoring in Chatsworth till that person passed away, we did everything we could to win them to God. And the reason they didn't get saved, I think, because I know them very well, knew them very well, they loved riotous living, living out in sin. This is what I found this out about family. People sometimes, they get too old, not to sin, but to sin the way they have always sinned. And this person got out and they just got too old to live that kind of a life anymore. And I thought after that, maybe now's the time to be able to reach that person. They lived in sin like this since they were probably 14 years of age, from what I understand. And I went many times and took preachers with me to try to win them to God, even to their deathbed. Even a family member in my family that's not even right with God to this day got so concerned about their eternal soul, they went to them, "Brother Laddie," they weren't going to church, they wasn't even right with God. And they went to them and they said, "You're not saved, you're not saved." And I called Brother Bobby Barnes, I said, "Will you go with me?" I said, "They ain't got but a few days left." And I said, "Let's go see if we can win them to God." Brother Bobby sat on one side and I sat on the other. If I ever heard the gospel gave more clear, I never heard it any clearer than Brother Barnes gave it to him that day. We pleaded with them to get saved, but you know what they kept saying? That's all they ever said. "I'm okay. I'm okay." You ever had people tell you that? "I'm okay." They were not okay. They left this world telling themselves they were okay when they wasn't okay. This boy's thinking about the Father. And then this boy's turning to the Father. Look what he said. Look, there's a resurrection in this chapter. He said in verse 18, "I will arise." Verse 20 said, "And he arose." Verse 24, the father says, "For this is my son, for this my son was dead, and he is alive again." He'll say it one more time in that text. This boy turned to God, what he did. You see, when you come to yourself and you see yourself for who you are, you have to make a choice. You're going to keep going down the same path, or you're going to turn to God. And this boy said he hasn't done it yet in verse 18. What I mean is he hasn't put it in action. He hasn't actually got on the path toward home. But if you'll notice in verse 18, the prayer is already in his heart. He said, "I will arise and go to my father. I'm going to my father." This boy, when he came to his senses, he started thinking about the father, the servants, the bread, and all the father had and all the father had done. And that boy said, "You know what? He's thinking about the father." You know, if you can get people to thinking about them, about God, and thinking about who they are, and thinking about where they're really at with God, then there's hope that they'll turn. Amen? You know, that's why the devil wants to distract you so much, whether it be the sins of this world, or whether it be something that would just keep you from the altar. Do you realize all that is just a distraction? Because he knows that if he can keep your mind off who you really are and where you're really at, if he just let you keep the mask of religion on and just keep on wearing it and you thinking you're okay, he knows you will never turn to God if you don't really think about who you are. And this boy, he came to himself and he started thinking about his father. He started thinking about who he was and who his father. And you know what? He turned. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." You know, that's really what God wants on this Easter Sunday. There's probably people in this building, and I'm not going around judging you. I don't know who you are, but there's people here this morning. You say, "What does God want?" He probably wants some people to arise and go to their father. And really just get on an altar and just get clean. Just come clean with God. You know, just, I mean, pour yourself out to God. So, Brother Gravely, it's Easter. Well, it's the Lord's Day. We're not worried about no egg hunt or cookout or anything like that. I tell you what we're worried about. We're worried about people coming to God. "I will arise and go." Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Laddie, if a bunch of people got right with God this morning? I mean, really got right with God. Saved and lost, Brother Brian. Just really got on this altar and said, "I'm tired of playing this whole game. I'm tired of just putting on. I'm tired of the lying. I'm tired of the cheating. I'm tired of the deceiving. I'm tired of doing all these things that shouldn't be done." And you know what? Today I'm miserable. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're backslid. But now can you see yourself for who you really are this morning? And so he's thinking about the Father. He's turning to the Father. And then there's this last point. Notice in that verse, he's talking to the Father. The Father's not there. That boy's still in the hog pen in verse 17. We're going to get him out sometime. But he's still in the hog pen. He comes to himself and he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" And listen, he's talking to the Father, but the Father's not, he's not present, but really the Father is always present, isn't he? He said, "I will arise and I'm going to go to my father." And this boy's planning his prayer out. And I'll say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven." Isn't that interesting? He didn't say first, "I've sinned against you." He put it on a spiritual level. He said, "I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." I'm going to tell you, when you get to the place where you blame nobody but yourself, you're in good shape. He's not coming back saying, "Now look, I know I didn't do everything right and I've not been perfect, but..." No, he's not doing that. He's done planned the whole thing out. He said, "You know what, I'm going to my father, and when I get to him, I'm going to say, 'Father, I want you to know, number one, I've sinned against heaven. What I've done, you may not know everything I've done, but he knows everything I've done. I've sinned against heaven. And then I've done you wrong. I've sinned before you. I've not treated you right." See, when you get right with God, you won't get right with other people. "I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned before thee." And this is real repentance. "I'm no more worthy." I'm going to tell you, when people get right with God, they get broken and they get humble and they're, "I'm no more worthy."
We feel worthless, don't we, when we come before God? And I want to say this morning, what's interesting to me, the Holy Spirit brought that to my mind last night while I was laying there and couldn't go to sleep. What's interesting to me is this, is that boy, his words, he talked to the people in the far country, the citizen, all that, but the only words recorded about this boy in these verses is what he said to his father. I never saw that before. When he went to his father and said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that follow me." That's written in the Bible, isn't it? He had not many days. He gathers everything up. He goes into a far country. He wastes his substance and riots his living. No doubt he talked to some people down there, but none of that's recorded. He loses everything he's got. He gets out. He goes to the citizen and joins himself to a citizen of the far country. He sends him out into the field to feed swine. He obviously had a conversation with that citizen and got employed, but that's not written down there, what he said. But when he's in that hog pen, he starts to talk to his father again. It's written down again, what he says, what he's going to say. You know why I think that is? Because only what we say to God is what's going to be remembered and recorded. You see, what we say to God and about God, He remembers it, good or bad. Somebody said, "Well, God hadn't treated me fair." He'll remember that. He'll record that. "Well, I tell you, God's people has mistreated..." He'll remember all that. It's His bride. "Well, I tell you, you better be careful what you say about God." But then if you come to Him and you repent, He'll also remember that. You can come to Him and say, "Lord, I've been terrible. I've been wretched." Those are some good words to use if you want to get right with God. "Lord, I've been wicked." You say, "Well, I've never been wicked, Brother Gravely." It's because you've never come to yourself. I don't care if you're raised right up here with these boys. You're going to have to see yourself wicked if you get saved. You're going to have to see yourself wicked, Ashton, to get saved. Because you've been raised in church. But you've got to be saved just like I had to be saved. You got to see yourself. "Oh, the day I got saved, that's all I could see was myself. I'm going to hell. And I cannot save myself. I'm going to hell." But I'm glad the preacher said that morning, "You don't have to go to hell." He pointed me to an old rugged cross and said, He went to Calvary for you, and He suffered and He died. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to Calvary." And I'll tell you, if you'll go to Calvary, guess what? You won't go to hell. I said, "I think I'll go to Calvary." And I went to the Lord that day. I said, "Lord, don't send me to hell. God, save my soul." I'm going to tell you this morning. I could have come in here this morning and not even had a song and just preached. I almost even thought about it. But I wasn't sure that was God's will. But I tell you this morning, what would be so wonderful in this congregation, what would be so great to the heart of God, is if everybody that was here that needs to get right with the Lord would get right with God. "Ma'am, quit blaming everybody else. Would you get right with God?" "Sir, quit blaming everybody else." Please, this morning, as we stand, wouldn't that be good? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you this morning. I know I've took my time and preached long, but I tell you, I've had such a burden. If you're backslid, come get saved. Get right with God. If you're backslid, come get right with God. And if you're lost, you don't have to be lost another second. You really don't. You say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I don't want to be lost. I'm going to hell and I don't want to go to hell." Well, you good news, you don't have to. If you'll come down this altar and say, "Lord, please save my soul," He'll save you this morning. He'll save your soul if you'll just come to Jesus. He wants you to come. Hey, if you're out in sin, The Lord knows about it this morning. I wonder why our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, and I'm not going to come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I promise you that. But are you here this morning and say, I'm not saved, preacher? If I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I want to slip my hand up while nobody's looking, and I want to ask you to pray for me. Just slip it up and put it down. God bless you, ma'am. Would there be somebody else? Thank you. Thank you for that. Would there be somebody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, dear people. God bless you. You're so close. Why don't you get in this morning? Is there somebody else? Is there anybody else here this morning? Visitor, member. Is there anybody else? I'm going to tell you, the Lord so loves you. And if you'll come down this aisle, I'll meet you down here. Would you come, if you're a lady, my wife, that's right. There's no lady. You come right ahead, ma'am. My wife will meet you down here. God will save you, ma'am, this morning. You just call on Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. I'm going to tell you, sinner, He loves everybody here this morning. If you raised your hand, you're so...